How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every Sunday by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Also available, Sirius XM Channel 794, also the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. We are doing the show live this week from Maui. That's right. I'm in Hawaii for my honeymoon, and we're doing the show. Mike, unfortunately, is not in Maui. He's out on the East Coast, and I know things are absolutely miserable out there. And in fact, we've got a pro wrestling tie-in with the hideous weather out on the East Coast involving good friend of ours, Lance Storm. I'll tell you that story here in the first hour, as well as all of the news of the week. We have tons of stuff to talk about in both pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Mike and I have both watched the first episode of the Ronda Rousey countdown show for her upcoming fight with Liz Carmouche, which is coming up in about 2 weeks. We'll talk about that. Plus a bunch of mixed martial arts news, including Vitor Belfort not failing a drug test, but he's all anybody wants to talk about this week in terms of drugs. We'll talk about that. Plus a shocking knockout on Ultimate Fighter, one of the biggest knockouts of all time. Uriah Hill on the show thought he killed a man with a spinning hook kick. We'll tell you about that. Plus the new Bellator reality series, who actually did fail a drug test in UFC, and more mixed martial arts news. Plus in pro wrestling, we're going to kick it off in the first segment with news on hell freezing over. In fact, Bruno Sammartino is going into the WWE Hall of Fame. We'll tell you all the details on that story. We just had Bruno on our show a couple of days ago, so we got all the scoops. We'll tell you about that. Plus, Jeff Hardy has signed a 2-year deal with TNA. He is there through February of 2015. We'll talk about that. Plus, Impact from this past Thursday night, the WWE Network may be one step closer to fruition, and a lot more. Tons of stuff coming up in the next hour, so as they say, don't leave that dial. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And apparently, being in Maui, we're on the air at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock p.m. Mike, how you doing out there on the East Coast?
No complaints. I'm sure the weather is a little bit better out there than it is here, but I won't complain too much since we're not buried under snow like some people are in the very northeast of the country.
That's right. I got to tell the story very quickly before we talk about Bruno. Lance Storm was heading out to New Jersey this week for the final match he's ever going to have with Jerry Lynn. Jerry Lynn, of course, is retiring this year. I think he's got like a couple of shows left. But one of the final shows ever was going to be with Lance, and it was scheduled for Saturday night. And Lance ended up stuck in the blizzard, snowed in at the airport. And I think he was there for 14 hours, I believe, trying to get his flight rerouted so he could make it to the show. He was determined. Him and Jerry Lynn obviously had some amazing matches back in the day, ECW, tons of amazing matches, actually. And with Jerry retiring, Jerry asked Lance to please come out of retirement and do a retirement match with me. And Lance so badly, desperately wanted to make it to this show. So he's trying to get out there, and he snowed in, and it's not looking good. He's trying to get a new flight. And apparently they finally get him on a new airplane. And they switch the flight. And off he goes to have his final match with Jerry Lynn. He gets there about a couple of hours before showtime. He manages to make it. They go out there. They have a match. Apparently, it's great. I think Mike Johnson of PW Insider, who's seen several of Jerry's retirement matches on this tour, said this was by far the best one. They hugged. They put each other over. Happy ending. Everything was great. Lance goes back to the airport, and he finds that since they had to switch his flight, apparently they canceled his ticket home on the original flight. So as of Saturday night, he was still stranded at the airport, now trying to get home. He had no idea how he was going to get home. And it's just a, it's one of these days he's going to think it's really funny. I suspect that right now he's very upset. But I felt bad because we were texting back and forth, and obviously I'm here in Hawaii, and weather's beautiful, everything's great, and here's poor Lance, who's absolutely having, like, the worst weekend of his entire life. So I feel bad for him, but I didn't book the weather. I guess that's the best way that I can put it. It sucks, though. It sucks.
It's one of those things that remind me next year there's going to be a Super Bowl in the Northeast, and obviously this year you have WrestleMania in New York, and being held in April, you're not, you know, at the mercy of some of the conditions that you could get at the Super Bowl in January, but you could still get some bad weather. Just and I know anything could happen, but it's times like this that make me think, man, outdoor shows in the Northeast are scary things in the wintertime.
Now, speaking of the New York market, the Hall of Fame, the WWE Hall of Fame, is obviously going to be taking place at Madison Square Garden this year. And as I'm sure some of you were surprised to hear, some of you caught completely off guard. Some of you, I don't know, maybe some of you thought it was going to happen. But on Monday Night Raw, they did in fact announce, after the story had first broken in ESPN, that Bruno Sammartino is going into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. Bruno Sammartino. Now, we've had Bruno on our show many times, and in fact, we had him on our show a couple days ago, in fact, talking about the deal after it had gone down, and I asked Bruno, did you think this was ever going to happen? And he, obviously, there was always a possibility that perhaps it was going to happen, but I don't think that he ever thought it was going to happen, and he pretty much admitted, no, I kind of didn't think it was ever going to happen, but it did. And Mike, are you shocked? Are you surprised? Are you not surprised? What was your reaction when you heard that Bruno was going in?
You know, it's still really surprising because even though there have been olive branches extended his way over the last few years, it didn't seem like it was going to happen. And, you know, following WWF and WWE for so long, it was always hard to imagine somebody else besides Vince McMahon making power decisions now in the last few years, obviously, with him getting older, with Stephanie taking over and getting more power, obviously, with Triple H being involved in the mix and him having projects such as Mystico and Karma at the beginning and doing different things. When those things started to happen and he used his connection with Killer Kowalski, and his, you know, there's a lot of things you can say about Triple H, but in some ways he is very old school. And when he started reaching out to Bruno, and Bruno would come on the shows and have a softened stance, not towards Vince McMahon or not towards sacrificing any of his principles that he has when it comes to the wrestling business, but being impressed with Triple H and at least having listening ears on for him and negotiating with him, it seemed to be where, wow, maybe one day we are going to actually see this happen. And there was a lot of talk a couple of months ago, which it makes obvious, you know, it would be the best and the most obvious thing to do for not only Bob Backlund, but especially Bruno Sammartino to be inducted the day before WrestleMania at Madison Square Garden, where, you know, he is such a legend. And it's still a surprise after all of those years and growing up in the 80s and seeing him on Donahue, seeing, you know, his stance and believing, you know, what he was saying. It's still kind of amazing that we're going to see him in the Hall of Fame, but to me, it's a very welcome thing.
This was a deal put together by Triple H. He and Bruno are getting along famously. Bruno really likes Triple H. He really trusts him. He really thinks he's a good guy. He really respects the way that Triple H approached him with the idea and gave him time to think about it and didn't push him. And it is a feather in the cap, obviously, of Triple H. He's going to be taken over someday, and he's got a in some ways different mindset from Vince McMahon. Obviously, he was not involved in anything that any of the issues that Vince and Bruno had amongst themselves. Hunter was he was not involved with that, and he's a young guy. He talks Bruno's language. Obviously, Bruno and Killer Kowalski were very close. Hunter and Killer Kowalski, they were obviously very close. Kowalski trained Hunter, and he spoke Bruno's language. And Bruno offered a deal and a monetary figure, and he didn't hear back from Triple H and WWE for a long time. He just presumed it was never going to happen, and they came back and they made an offer, and he's going in. And I think the key to this whole thing is it's not obviously he offered a big money figure. I don't know what the figure was. I don't think anybody knows except Bruno. There's a confidentiality clause, but it was a big number. And I think the key is it's not so much about the money as it is about he offered this money and they were willing to let bygones be bygones and give him what he wanted. And at the end of the day, he felt that I don't know if he won is the right term. I don't even really know how to put it, but I think from I've seen people talk and write about how, oh my God, Bruno sold out. He took the money, blah, blah, blah. There's so much more to it than that. It's all about getting the respect that he didn't get for so many years. And he feels that now he is being given that respect. And obviously the money was kind of a key part of it as well. But, you know, he feels that he can walk away at any time. He calls his own shots. If he's not happy with the way things are going, he can leave. And he feels that they're doing the best they can with the wellness policy. Obviously, even he admits there are probably guys that are getting by the policy. He even mentioned some names that he's skeptical about. But he thinks they're doing their best. He likes the guy that's in charge of the wellness policy, Joseph Maroon. He did Bruno surgery. And there's a lot less swearing on television. It's not embarrassing to watch with your kids anymore like it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. So he's happy. And we're going to talk more about this when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, and of course, the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. If you download the TuneIn Radio app, you can search Sports Byline. Check out all of the great Sports Byline programming, including this show, archives of this show, and more. So no excuse for not listening, everybody. And of course, we're here talking Bruno Sammartino going into the WWE Hall of Fame. And Mike, obviously, he sees a lot of positives in WWE nowadays. Hunter convinced him that things have changed. The wellness policy, he believes they're doing their best. Even if it's not catching everybody, they're doing their best. And there's a lot less swearing. There's no nudity. A lot fewer scantily clad women. It's not the kind of show you'd be embarrassed to take your child to. Mike, you have a child. Do you agree with Bruno Sammartino about this?
Yeah, in a way, yes. I mean, Avery can watch and does watch Saturday Morning Slam. You know, you can watch a little bit of main event, but the thing is, he's 5 years old, and, you know, I can't see any responsible parent, even though WWE, and that's the amazing part with WWE, is they seem to write a show that comes on between 8 p.m. and goes off at 11:15. They seem to write this show aimed at, like, between 5 and 12-year-olds, and it happens to come at a, you know, it's shown at a time where no smart, responsible parent should be letting a small, impressionable child watch TV, let alone pro wrestling. But that to the side, yeah, I mean, they have made those moves. And Triple H can point to global partnerships. And this guy, Andrew Judelson, who actually just left WWE and will be joining IMG and taking over some stuff there. I mean, he can point to hooking up with Colgate-Palmolive for the Irish Spring commercials with Sheamus, Post Foods, the deal with John Cena, the worldwide Mattel deal that they had. He can actually point to things that can convince Bruno that I'm not just saying this stuff. This is stuff we have going on that's very important to the company, very important to us going forward. So we're not going to renege on our word because we need these things. And Bruno, at his age too, it's a lot like Bret Hart. At some point, you have to make peace with the guy, and you don't have to do this, and Bruno wouldn't have done this, but it does help that his entire life and career is owned by Vince McMahon. It is on those tapes. Who knows what happened to the old Pittsburgh tapes, but I'm sure he doesn't have those anymore. So pretty much his whole life and career is in WWE's hands. And, you know, you should want the ability to, you know, have some of that access and be able to talk about it and set stories straight. And it seems to be Triple H doesn't have much of a problem with that. I mean, you know, Vince McMahon hates smoking on 24/7 when they have those round tables and you got Michael Hayes and Jim Ross and Pat Patterson, you know, and Dusty Rhodes. They're down there smoking and telling stories and something like that. You know, those types of things and things offered to Bruno, and there's been a bunch of things offered to him. Obviously, we don't know, you know, all of what they are, but he's going to work on some DVD projects, and he's got interest in doing 24/7. You know, it's good for him to get a chance to tell his story and set some of the story straight and shoot, you know, and talk to other people. And I think even though he doesn't need the thrill of having the pop because he got the pop 200 times at Madison Square Garden, let alone everywhere else in the Mid-Atlantic. I mean, I had a chance to go to his last match. Believe me, they popped then too. So it's not really about the pop, but I think it will be interesting and good for him to find out how many of these, you know, people in this era that never had a chance to see him and barely had a chance to see him on tape with the way WWE has presented him, to know he's in such, you know, he's held to such a standard and he's so revered. I think that's going to be kind of nice for him to know from the modern wrestling fan.
Well, he admitted on the show that he was shocked when he watched Raw and they played the video package and he said, you know, the show was in Atlanta. I wrestled 5 times in Atlanta, maybe. I mean, he basically said, of all the places to make this announcement, why Atlanta? That's like the worst possible place. But when they came back from that video, and keep in mind, this was a Raw show in Atlanta where, like, those fans, for whatever reason, didn't care about anything. They did not care about anything on that show, except when they played Bruno's video and went back to those fans were going nuts for that video, and he was shocked. And I'm not going to the Hall of Fame this year. I kind of got turned off to the Hall of Fame when they started. The year that I went, I remember going in like 2008, and I think it was like Dusty was there, and I think was it Flair as well? Anyway, these guys talked forever. I mean, it was Flair because they kept having to cut him off, and he didn't want to be cut off, and he would have talked all night long if they didn't finally get the hook and drag him off the stage. But the year that I went, and they had a Titantron that was behind the audience that all of the inductees could see, and the Titantron started counting down from 4 minutes when the Funks were on the stage, for example, and it was like, this is the Funks. They are getting 4 minutes to do a speech. At that point, it was like, I ain't going to the Hall of Fame anymore. And I think they've kind of loosened things up over the last couple of years. But when I didn't ask for tickets. I didn't plan to go to the Hall of Fame this year. Tickets are all sold out. I can't even go now if I want to. But I sure would like to be there for Bruno Sammartino going to the WWE Hall of Fame because I just envision, like, a 25-minute ovation that just doesn't stop. I mean, I really think it's going to be something outrageous. I don't think he's going to be prepared for this, quite frankly. But I think he's going to be very happy when it's over. And I think it's going to be amazing for everybody that bought tickets and shows up.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that first meeting goes with him and Vince. And, you know, I think there will be more time than this, but J.J. Dillon has talked about several times when he went back with Tully and Arn and Rick that last time around, and Barry Windham to have the Horseman induction. He hadn't seen Vince in a couple of years. And, you know, he saw him behind the scenes. Vince just, you know, they shook hands. JJ, how you doing? Vince, good. How about you? And that was it. Now, it'll be interesting to see how the meeting with Vince McMahon and Bruno is. Will it be like that? Will it be a little longer? It'll just, that's one of the things that'll be really very interesting. And because Bruno has been so open on our shows, and you'll hype the website later on as far as the money being, you know, completely worth it. The shows, and I think there's been four or five at this point, long form shows you have done with Bruno Sammartino have been completely worth being a member of the site, and he'll be open and talking about, you know, how that meeting went with Vince too. And again, that's really going to be the interesting thing for me.
Yeah, the other thing I thought was interesting when he was on the show was talking about his thoughts on the wellness policy. I mean, he'd done an interview with ESPN, and he'd mentioned the wellness policy, and man, people got on him about how can Bruno possibly think this and that, and Bruno was like, this dude is, he's got his head on his shoulders about this drug policy. I mean, He, the guy who did his back surgery is named Dr. Joseph Maroon, and he happens to be the guy in charge of WWE's drug testing policy. And Bruno was virtually, I mean, he said he couldn't walk for more than like a few feet before he had to sit down, his legs, his back, just he was just thrashed. And Joseph Maroon put him back together, and now here he is, mid-70s. I think he said he did 5 miles on the track the day he did our show. This guy is just a machine. But he admitted that, yes, I understand that there are designer drugs that you know, there are guys that are ahead of the curve. There are drugs that cannot be detected. There are ways, there are loopholes in any drug testing policy, not just WWE. We're talking the Olympics, we're talking MMA, any drug testing policy, there are going to be ways that guys are going to get around the system. But he feels that they are doing the best they can. And he even mentioned Ryback as a guy who, he looks at Ryback and he goes, this is interesting. But he admitted, he goes, I can't even say that I think that Ryback is on anything, because when I was in my prime in the 50s, 60s, I was 275 pounds and solid. And if I came around today, you would have guys saying Bruno Sammartino has to be on something. And the fact was, I wasn't. I just trained really hard and had great genetics. And of course, he came along and he was 275 pounds before the steroid era. The late 50s when they came to this country. So, you know, that and that was his justification. There may be guys that are getting around the policy, but I feel that they're doing the best they can. And he said, even if there are guys that are managing to get around the program, he goes, if you watched wrestling in the 80s, look at all of the guys. Look at all of these gigantic, juiced-up beasts in the 80s. He goes, you watch WWE today, a lot of guys in great shape. A lot of guys that are great athletes. Maybe there are guys that are on some stuff, but it is not the 80s. It is a very different world today, and the wellness policy has helped create that environment.
Yeah, different world, different mindset, and of course there are people who are on things, but look at this last blast that just came out about Major League Baseball. You know, at some point, I mean, you got to try, but guys are going to take things and they're going to slip through the cracks and things are going to happen. And, you know, it's hard to babysit everyone, especially in pro wrestling. And again, Dr. Maroon is not some hack quack doctor. He is a legitimate guy. And in WWE, for anything you want to say about it, they have taken legitimate steps. And obviously those can be debated, but they were enough at least for Bruno to put his stamp of approval on the proceedings.
All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. When we come back, we got some TV to talk about, some Impact, some Raw, some Ronda Rousey. Back in a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com, always the place to go for the latest news and info in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, daily news updates, and radio shows. My God, we've got a lot of radio shows. In fact, every single radio show that we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives right now for members. Members, $10.99 per month gets you everything. Not only all of the brand new shows that we do on the website, but every show we've ever done dating back to 2005. And by every show, I'm talking 10 to 15 shows per week, every week for the last nearly 8 years. That's a lot of audio. If you only get to listen to the show one time per week, I guarantee that you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com if you like this show. It's everything you hear here, just 10 times as much content. Shows every single day, sometimes as many as 5 shows in a single day. So if you love wrestling audio, if you love this show, check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Sign up. It's only $10.99 per month. And as I've said a million times, I guarantee you'll love it. And if you don't, drop me an email, brian@WrestlingObserver.com, and we'll make it right. But nobody ever emails because people love the site. So check it out. Anyway, we got a lot of news to get into here before the show ends, so let's not waste any time. Mike, did you see Impact this week?
I did indeed.
What'd you think?
I like the British crowd, obviously. You know, you get a massive crowd when you go over there. And they respond to everything well. You know, I got a kick out of some things that I didn't think I was actually going to get some enjoyment out of. You know, the segment with Rockstar Spud, I thought most people didn't watch British Boot Camp. So I thought the way that thing went, they didn't really say who was who in the beginning. And it just kind of ended abruptly with them saying, you know, Spud won. And I didn't think they did a good enough job in kind of laying that video package out. But then again, when it came to him and Robbie T and Robbie E, I was actually greatly entertained with that. And the show ended feel good with how it's been going with Aces and Eights anyway. You know, you get the cornball comedy, obviously, with you know, the old guy Sting and Hogan and his new son-in-law Bully Ray, and you know, Brooks' acting being terrible. But that I thought was, you know, it was what it was as far as a match, but as far as being a, you know, a happy way to end the evening, I thought it was good. And obviously Aries and Rude together winning the tag titles, I thought that was a plus. So I really can't complain too much about Impact.
Yeah, I thought I've always thought that the UK crowd is just, I don't know why they leave. The show looks so much more major league. They've got a huge crowd. The place is going nuts for everything. I mean, they do that sometimes in the Impact Zone. The Impact Zone was hit and miss, but it always looked minor league because they were in a 1,000-seat building. And the UK crowd, just the show was packed, and it was just great. I thought the tag match was awesome with Aries and Rude. Thank God winning the tag team titles, hopefully leading to a feud with Daniels and Kazarian. If there is a wrestling god, that feud will take place. And I just really enjoyed the show. I mean, Rockstar Spud, obviously, this was like his big debut. I mean, he'd done plenty of shows before, and he'd done British Boot Camp. But as far as, like, you know, a performance, having to do a performance in front of a crowd of that size on, you know, it wasn't a live show, but it was live to tape. And I thought he did extremely well for, like, this would be his big break, basically. He was the winner of the British Boot Camp. I thought he did a very good job. And the one thing I thought was hilarious was, did they really have to put him next to Robbie T so that he'd look, like, 4 feet tall?
I think with the way they did that with Robbie jumping on his back and saying, hold me back, bro, I know what you mean, but I think because of what they were going to do with, obviously, Robbie T being Welsh and them playing to the UK crowd that way, I thought that was actually okay. And frankly, if you're going to have the name Rockstar Spud, it's like having the name Spanky. I mean, it's not the most intimidating thing in the world. So you go off of his look and his attitude, and obviously, you know, I guess you can go tongue-in-cheek with how small he is. You know, and to be honest, he looked more comfortable than Wes Briscoe did, which, you know, immediately now that the hair comes down and he's in the group, he did not come across with as much force as I honestly thought he was going to.
Jeff Hardy wasn't on the show. He's a felon, I guess. Is that the proper term? What would be the proper term for what happened with Jeff Hardy?
I missed something there with Jeff Hardy. Is he a felon? Did he miss his the meeting with his PO? What happened?
I guess a felon. I'm trying to think of the proper term to not get us in trouble here. But Jeff Hardy had a run in with the law, and served a little bit of time. Anyway, he couldn't make it into the UK. But
oops,
he has turned his life around, and he has also just signed a 2-year contract extension with Impact Wrestling. He'll be there through February of 2015, and he is their current champion. I know a lot of people in the UK were very upset because he was billed for the tour, and then as a result of his former legal issues, he couldn't go. And so they just didn't have him go. And a lot of people were very upset about that. Well, I presume they figured that they'd be able to pull some strings or something and get him into the country, but they couldn't. But he is the champion. He'll be back on television when they come back to the U.S. for the next set of tapings. He's going to be on television for at least the next 2 years. They're going to do some music projects with him. I know he has stated that he wants to perform a song at Bound for Glory this year. And he is probably still their only real-life, singular, legitimate draw. The pay-per-views, when Jeff Hardy headlines, do about 3,000 buys more than the pay-per-views when he's not headlining. And he has moved numbers, so he's stuck with them. Maybe that's the wrong term. He is with TNA, for better or worse, for the next 2 years. And hopefully everything works out great for all sides.
I hope so. I really do. I was actually watching the kayfabe commentaries, Botchamania one, where they brought up, you know, fans got to vote, and they brought up one of the biggest botches of the last couple of years, at least in that terminology, Jeff Hardy's match against Sting, where he was in no condition to perform. And I saw the match he had in the Tokyo Dome in New Japan against Naito, which was supposed to be one of Naito's big singles breakout matches after he got back from CMLL, and it's just, I hope everything does work out well. And really, you're exactly right. They're actually stuck with each other. They need Jeff Hardy because he does actually move the needle a little bit and sell merchandise, and he needs them because they have been very tolerant, whether they should have or not. They've been very, very tolerant, and they need, you know, again, all the help they can get.
Well, with the exception of, I guess, what was described as one hiccup, Jeff Hardy has been a model employee since he claimed he turned his life around. There have been pretty much zero problems with him since that time. So it's good news for him and his family, obviously, and everybody in TNA.
And you know what else? What makes him really happy? No one's messed with his painting, man.
That's right. That's right. I haven't heard a lot about Jeff Hardy paintings lately, just his music.
This is face, I guess.
The DirecTV survey that came out a couple of days ago asked fans if they were interested in a WWE network. And it asked them a number of different questions, such as how much you would pay. They offered various price points. I believe as low as $12.95 and I believe as expensive as $29.95. And the idea would be that all of the pay-per-views, with the exception of WrestleMania, would be moved to the network, which would be available to you, the viewer, for a subscription rate each month. And obviously, if you're somebody that buys all the pay-per-views, you would save a hell of a lot of money by purchasing the network. But I don't know what this means yet. I know a lot of people are thinking that this means that the launch of the network is imminent. I guess that's possible. I saw it as DirecTV is willing to ask some questions. And I think that it's interesting because I would expect that most fans getting the survey, if they're interested in the network, would say, yes, I would purchase at the lowest price point. But moving all of the pay-per-views to DirecTV for $12.99 a month or whatever is not financially feasible. So if they get these survey results back, and it's like everybody is only willing to pay $12, and your plan is to like destroy your pay-per-view business by putting all of these shows on DirecTV for $12 a month, I see them going, well, we need to come up with another idea, because I don't know. I was told that if ever there was a year to launch the network, it would be this year, because the WrestleMania season, The Rock, Mania in New York, it's going to be a very lucrative year for WWE. So why not have another WWE restaurant or XFL or some other project that's going to lose tons of money in a year that at least they're going to make a lot of money? So anyway, the point of this is I wouldn't get too excited about this yet if you're a somebody who wants a WWE network, but it is certainly more in the realm of possibility now than it was 3 days ago.
I throw myself onto bended knee to NBC Universal. Bonnie Hammer just wrestled away everything. She's got the entire, she runs the portfolio as far as the cable channels go for NBC Universal, everything from USA to Sci-Fi to Bravo to E, all that stuff. And WWE needs all the help they can get on trying to get on systems, and they need to play to that and hope that NBC Universal owning Comcast or vice versa there, that they can get that deal as long as, and DirecTV, that's what they would need at least to start this thing up to try to make it worthwhile. And even though, you know, everybody I'm sure is going to say, yeah, I'll pay the lowest possible price for it, it will still be higher. And it's, again, this is probably the best year for them to be able to do it, but they need help. And I don't know if NBC would be willing to play into that at all, but they need all the help they can get. They've got some decent sponsors now who would probably advertise on there and do at least a little bit, but it wouldn't be enough. They I think need far more help than just starting this thing up on a DirecTV if that happens to be the only option.
Before we wrap the segment up, I want to make sure I get your thoughts on the Ronda Rousey special, the first primetime episode, the first of three, plugging her fight with Liz Carmouche in a couple of weeks. What did you think of part one?
Yeah, got some humanizing there. You know, one of the things you always see, you know, people have hit Ronda Rousey and there's been the pushback about has been, you know, her flippancy and things like that. So I think, you know, her crying and some of the things that they showed, I thought they did a great job humanizing her, and I thought they did a great job humanizing a fight between two women who, because again, still to some people, this is going to be a little bit of a shock to their system. But, you know, very interesting. Also, just as interesting is the fact that Cyborg seems to be running away from the UFC, as Tito Ortiz has said. She does not want to face off at Ronda Rousey. She wants to be at 135. She wants to be released from her UFC deal.
That's right. Tito says they have asked for the release of Cyborg. I never know what to make with Tito. I presume it's some sort of bargaining deal. But Dana's made it very clear. If she wants a fight at 140 and Ronda's willing to take it, you could have your one-off fight. There's going to be no title on the line. And after that, you're done. Because we only have a 135-pound division. We don't have 140 or 145. So if you can't make it, there's no role for you here. There's no place for you. We'll talk about this more after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here on WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. And before the break, we were talking about Chris Cyborg and the request by Tito Ortiz that UFC let her out of her contract because for the sake of her future children, she cannot make 135. Mike, at the end of the day, do you think we're ever going to see Cyborg and Rousey?
You know what? At this point, no, because it wouldn't be the best thing for her financially or anything like that. But for her going to Invicta or something like that, I think she can survive for long enough. I mean, they could try to set up a fight with Conan Well, I mean, there's other things they can do, and there's some higher profile fights, at least in the women's realm, that they could make. So it really would not shock me at all to not see her there.
Well, everybody, we're running out of time here. We obviously are going to be back next week with more. Tomorrow's Raw, and I don't know exactly what is scheduled for the show, but they got a couple of weeks left before Elimination Chamber, so obviously they're going to put some stuff together for that show. We've got one Elimination Chamber match. That's it. SmackDown title. The title shot at WrestleMania is going to be on the line in a chamber. The Raw side, we're not going to have an Elimination Chamber. It's going to be Ryback, Sheamus, and John Cena versus The Shield in a six-man. And obviously The Rock versus CM Punk in a rematch for the WWE title. And if Rock wins, he is going to WrestleMania to face John Cena. So obviously they got a lot of stuff to do on the show tomorrow, not to mention the Brock Lesnar situation. He destroyed Vince McMahon. He killed him. And at some point soon, Triple H has got to return to seek revenge on the monster Brock Lesnar. So that show is tomorrow. And, of course, Dave Meltzer and I are going to be back tonight with a brand new show only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, talking all the news. We'll have a new show up tomorrow after Raw as well. And I got another week and a half in Hawaii. So next week we'll be broadcasting from the Big Island, talking all of the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts. So check out WrestlingObserver.com for more. Want to thank Mike and everybody for listening. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network.